So I thought I would say a few things about not just the work that you've done, but the work that remains to be done by you. And as the case may or may not be, at some point, perhaps without the usual direction and instruction that you're used to getting because of the way the school has been up until this point. So I want to help you understand something that parts of you already do, but they are swamped by other parts that are more familiar and pressing. And the simpler I'm able to say it, I think the better it is. So I thought of this little story to exemplify the main idea, and then I will enlarge it a little bit. Imagine a bus stop like the size of New York, 100 different buses rolling through, 100 different places in that bus stop with people sitting on the benches and waiting for the bus to roll by with the name as they put it on top of that bus, where that bus is going. And imagine for a moment that there's this one man, and he's been seated at that bus stop for the longest time. And people have come and gone. They've gone on the buses. They've gone where, you know how it says, Disney World this way, Pleasure Island this way, Endless Power Possession this way, A Brighter Tomorrow that way, all Tomorrowland, all of these places that these buses go, and they pick up, the doors open, people pour in, and then for the most part never know that the bus, even if it seems to take them to what they believed would bring an end to their pain or fill them with some sweeter promise, when that bus makes its circle, as every feature of thought must do, people get off and they forgot that where they went didn't do anything for them. And that forgetfulness is amplified by the fact that along comes a bus, seemingly accidentally, with a scroll on top of it pointing out some place that, even as they were disappointed where they got to, they started thinking about the next place that would be better. And this one man, he's been seated there for the longest time. And one person who, having begun to see certain things about this round trip, this endless planning and processing, endless promises, he walks over to the man. He says, you know, I've been here for a long time. I've noticed that whenever these buses pull up, you never get on one of them. Why is that? He said. Certainly you have to want to be someplace else, do something else. And the man said, that's not altogether true. He said, but I'll tell you why I don't get on any of those buses. He said, please, I'd like to know. He said, because everyone that has come along, I've seen where it's going. I've seen what it does. And as simply as I can put it, he said to the friend that asked him, that's not where I want to go. I don't want to go there. Now, to bring it down, I don't want to go into anger. I don't want to go into ambition. I don't want to go into possessions. I don't want to go into tomorrow. I don't want to go into having an enemy. I don't want to go into what may or may not take place. I don't want to go into thinking about that this may or may not be. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, and I'm not going to go there. And the only way it's possible for an individual to get to the place where they understand that when that thought comes, that surge of sensation, those emotions, whatever they may be, sweet or sour, makes no difference to the consciousness wanting to catch a ride on its own reactions. You have to see how many times you have been seated someplace and along comes a bus, a thought. And the thought always is connected to some motion that created it. Thoughts are the way in which desires dress themselves. Desires have no power until they create an image, and then the identification with that image that always dressed in some kind of thought, and then you step onto that path of thought. And the minute you step onto that path of thought, in that split second, you have left the one place where it's possible for you to realize that you've been tempted once again to forge an identity based on something will come, something different will happen, tomorrow will be other than this, I'll change, they will change. And in the moment that you step onto that bus, the moment that you step into that identification with whatever that thought may be in that moment, you have lost the possibility of seeing for yourself what is probably the greatest mystery of all about this work. It's very clear, it's very evident at a certain point, and God willing, you'll see it for yourself. Our nature is always about some place to go. It's always about what I will be, what I will have, when. That's its entire sum. Because in every last one of those moments, that essential division takes place. And then the sense of self identified with that thought, with that promise, with that temptation, that sense of self in that split second is all wrapped up in ensuring that that consciousness experiences itself through what it has imagined, failing to see that anything that that consciousness can imagine to save itself through is already a part of that consciousness and is powerless to do anything other than take a person on another round trip in thought. The mystery is that this mind always wants to be in motion because it's always trying to reconcile the disturbance that brought up inside of it, not wanting to be where I am with what I am, and hidden in that disturbance, the desire is the promise of a reconciliation downstream, so that it's always trying to get somewhere. But you have to be able to see it. You lay in bed, your mind, what does your mind do when you're laying in bed? It's just in a constant state of thought, one thought after another. And the key here, important to understand, no matter how long it will take you to do so, thought is bred by conflict. Thought can't bring an end to conflict, it's bred by it. Anytime you're able to see yourself thinking, you will see it is trying to solve something that it doesn't want or that it hopes to change. That's what all thought is about. And every thought is connected to an image connected to a tomorrow and a promise and a subsequent identity. So that you look to the very thing that was created by conflict to escape the conflict that it creates, but you don't see it. Because it's always connected to a tomorrow where you'll be free of the conflict that's inherent in the consciousness in that same moment. And that's what one has to come to see, beyond the shadow of a doubt. How this temptation comes. It's quite accurate. It's a perfect word. In the original Aramaic, the word temptation, lead us not into temptation, lead me into a place, please let me see where it is that I am tempted to try to complete myself. And the only time that I'm tempted to try to complete myself is when I feel incomplete, because something in me has judged the moment as being inadequate. And then in that moment of conflict, the mind conjures up what it needs to complete itself, and it's off on that bus making another round trip to absolutely nowhere. And you don't need a school to help you see that. You don't need a teacher. What you need is honesty. What you need is a willingness, as difficult as it is, and it is virtually impossible were it not for God, for a human being to see, it's unbelievable. I'm like, where's Saul? I'm like Saul, that dog. A thought runs by, painted like a cat. What can Saul do? Saul, what do I do? Huh? I start whining and I want to chase it. If you could see this, do you not look at thought, measure it, and then think to yourself that thought that I have about tomorrow or about yesterday, that inherent in that thought, I find direction, yes or no? Yeah. Where did thought get direction from? The past. So I look to thought for direction, failing to see that thought of itself can't direct anything. What can thought direct? It can't direct anything. It is directed. It's the hidden darkness behind thought. Thought always is directing you. Thought comes along. It doesn't seem like it's saying, do this or do that, but inherent in any thought or disturbance is I've got to get something resolved. I've got to do something. So thought seems to provide you with direction. What you have to understand is what in the name of God is directing thought. And nobody can teach you that. You have to see it for yourself. You have to see how along comes the bus, along comes the thought, along comes the fear, along comes tomorrow, along comes yesterday, and painted right on that front of the bus, it might as well say, escape yourself here. And then off you go, except for what? Except you're not going anywhere. Thought, that nature, in the very appearance of its promise to take you from who and what you don't want to experience to an experience you do want, in that moment you miss the whole point, which is you're not intended to be going somewhere at all. It's so hard for us to understand. Future is built into the way we think, isn't it? So is the past. And we don't connect the fact that our future is always, one way or another, a derivation of something in our past that we don't want. So that we're always listening to thought paint itself, tell us what we must do to escape a pain or get some new pleasure. And failing every last one of those moments to realize I want to stop going. I want to stop doing. I want to stop fear. You can't stop fear by agreeing with it. And not wanting to be afraid is agreeing with fear, because the resistance wouldn't exist without something in you already identified with and thinking the fear has some power over you. Fear has no power. But it is empowered every time that, without knowing it, it comes along and one way or another says, here's the bus. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. You can use that, I don't want to go there. You can use those six words. But you have to be present enough when that thought comes and it says, go here, do that, blame them, run after this. You have to be present enough to realize, wait a minute, something wants to take me somewhere. Something's trying to direct me somewhere. I don't take my direction from thought. What man taking thought can add one cubit to his stature, said Christ. Why did he say that? Because that's not where you are intended to go. You're not intended to go someplace. You're intended to see the parts of yourself that are never content with where they are and what they have. And the clearer that becomes to you, the more effortless it is for you to say, I don't want to go there. I'm not going that way. I'm not going that way. Here comes this subtle fear or an overt anger, some grief from a relationship, something you lost. Makes no difference what it is. I'm not going there. I don't want to go there. And if you really understand that you can't go there because you've seen how many times you have gone there, then where are you? What are you left with? You're left with you as you are, without a future, but free from the past that's directing you in thought. Then you will see something you've never seen before. And it's only in seeing something you've never seen before that your eyes are opened a little more, that you get a taste of a possibility of what it's like to be a human being who is so tired of running the same circles, same thoughts. Sure, different circumstances, maybe different relationships, but you look at it closely and you will see beyond the shadow of a doubt. It's the same thought, it's the same nature, it's the same experience, because it belongs to the same level of consciousness that's creating the condition that first it says, you don't want this, better change that, and then it tells you what you have to do to change what it can't change. Thought can't change anything. So when you say, I don't want to go there, what you're really saying is, I'm not going to go into thought. I'm not going to resist it. That's another form of getting on a bus, because now I'm someone other than this. No, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to go there. And then you'll be left in a true crucible, a true crucifix, because everything in you is going to say, you have to. You can't leave this unanswered. What's going to happen to you if you don't address this? You'll hear all of that, and then you'll know all of your life what's been talking to you that you never heard before. It'll be clear to you, and in that clarity is a new kind of action. Only in that clarity is the action that you can't provide for yourself, which isn't adding something to yourself, but agreeing to give something up about yourself needed in that moment to be given up. And that's not, you have to do that. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. And if you really are interested in it, you have to ask. And you know how you ask? You know that? Ask and you shall receive. Asking isn't what you think it is. Asking is a definitive action when you don't take the first thing that's offered to you. That's what asking is. Not taking the first thing that's offered to you. What's the first thing that's offered to you anytime you have pain or sorrow or anger or fear? What's the first thing that's offered to you? A solution to that nature. So when you don't take the solution from the nature that's producing that suffering, you're asking for something that can be given in no other way, which is clarity about the consciousness that you've been complicit in continuing. How long does it take? And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, because the mind wants to get into that. Well, I'm this or that. I've been here. I'm a student. I this, that, and the other. How? I'm never gonna understand. I don't want to go that way. Do you understand how applicable that idea is? I don't want to go that way. Because that's the negation of thought. And the negation of thought is the same as inviting, in a very definitive way, that unconscious nature that is the father of that thought to make itself evident to you. And it will, over and over again. The more you're able to say, in a manner of speaking, like Christ to Satan in the desert, you do this and I'll give you everything. Not my word, but by the word of God. Not my will, but his will. And then you not acting like you are his will, but you being aware of everything that is not his will is actually his will. If you can make that leap. Can you?
Yes. Yep.
A That's when you see it, you'll say, well, that's crazy. I'm now, don't get your socks all bunched up. I'm possessed. I didn't know I was possessed. I think you're possessed. But not I. No, you are possessed by a nature that is possessed with the love of itself that includes the hatred of itself. And it doesn't care which road it takes. All that matters to it is it has something it wants or doesn't want, and then it can get you to get on that bus. And at some point when you see beyond the shadow of a doubt, your wants and not wants, what do they add up to? Another ride. Then you begin to... I told that story a long time ago, a story about a couple girls, ladies went to a big dance, and one of them kept dancing with somebody, stepping on her toes, and then taking her out and threatening her and all that. And then finally, one day when he comes up and asks her to dance. What did she say to him? I think I'll sit this one out. You can learn to sit it out. You can learn to watch everybody dance to the fiddler. Then you'll know some peace. And like Kevin said, you'll know a different kind of happiness, because instead of this idea that there's always some place to get to, something, some choice I have to make, you understand that the real choice is to remain choiceless in that moment, so that you can discover from yourself that there's nothing you're ever going to do to save yourself. It's impossible. Thought tries to save itself, does it not?
Yes.
And it isn't even that you need to be saved from thought. You need to be saved by seeing the incessant, constant identification produced by the moment that thought comes up with its old pattern, its old pain. How it just loves to go back over things. Mm-hmm. And like that kid at the amusement park, after 100,000 rides, instead of saying, I'm not going that way, I'm not going to get on that ride. All of the talks, all about the same thing, but requiring your dedicated work and willingness to see, not to succeed. Don't make that mistake. You're not to succeed. You can't. But you can see. And then you'll learn about a different kind of success that's already built into you, right where you are, right with you, right with what you are, and right in that same moment. No separation from it. So if you have that piece of paper with your wish or your intention on it, let me help you understand a little bit more about it. This isn't some walk through hot coals with bare feet. This is about you having seen or realized to some extent how you have been mistakenly but definitively defined over and over again by certain characteristics, qualities, condition, reactions, all of that business that eventually lead to what could be considered a particular kind of relationship with life or with people or problems. And that's what's on that piece of paper. What's your wish? And when you throw it in the fire, you stand there long enough to know that you're standing there to feel the heat of the fire, to be aware of everything that you're doing, heart, mind, and soul, entirely. And in that moment, you are together. And in that togetherness, another kind of energy is produced that will have the power to help you affect the wish that you want to bring to come true for yourself. So when you're ready, go ahead, and we're going to call it a night because we managed to escape the rain, but it's coming down now. Did you notice? So if you wish, throw your stuff in the fire, and I'll see you all in a couple months.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Happy New Year is right.
Thank you.